Happy New Year from journalism.co.uk. In this podcast, we're looking at some emerging journalism skills and techniques that you might want to learn to further your career in 2015. The new year is a time to look at what we do and how we can do it better, refresh our previously learned skills, or pick up some new ones. It's also a popular time for crystal ball gazing and trying to work out what direction our industry might be heading in over the coming year. With that in mind, we asked some of our followers on Twitter what tricks of the journalism trade they think they should be adding to their repertoire in 2015. We then spoke to experts in those areas, from drones and robot journalism to online rumour control. One of the big developing areas in journalism that a lot of people seem keen to find out more about is drone journalism. It came up in our New Year predictions this time last year, but there's still some work to be done on an EU-wide level to clarify the civil aviation rules. Daniel Easterman is a former journalist for the Jewish Chronicle, who recently embarked on a drone journalism project in the Scottish Highlands. He's now retraining as a web developer.
Definitely, you know, adding any new skills is definitely going to be something positive. I was doing a master's in digital journalism at Goldsmiths, part of the University of London, and I was kind of at a loose end as to what to choose. I wanted to do something I was really excited and passionate about. The idea of using drones in journalism really captured my attention. And I was talking with my dad, actually. We looked online and found out that actually these you can get these out-of-the-box solutions. You don't have to make it yourself as you used to. And you know, you can actually fly these things fairly after a few test flights and things like that. You can actually get going pretty easily.
So, what kind of practical applications were you doing? I mean, can you talk us through some of the projects or some of the stories that you worked on?
Yeah. So, basically, I worked on one major story for the masters, which was a environmental based story on deforestation in Scotland. And one of the reasons I chose that was because of the limitations in terms of the law and the legal framework hasn't quite kept up to pace with the technology, so it's still very unclear about, you know, you're not really supposed to go into built up areas and fly close to people. So I chose basically the most remote place you can get to in the UK, you know, which is the Highlands of Scotland, where you wouldn't have those kind of risks and those kind of legal implications. But we need to really wait and see what the, because these are going to be European-wide regulations, which I think are due to come out in next year, 2016. So the prospects look very good for that, actually. It looks like they're going to have a very comprehensive idea of what is allowed and what isn't allowed. But my approach, my advice to people would be, you know, wait and see. And if you want to, you know, get kind of just experimenting with different things, with different types of drone, then by all means. But the technology is changing very quickly. Basically every 5 months, there's a new updated consumer drone, which is much, much better than the previous old version.
From drones to robots. In a recent post looking at some of the big changes affecting journalism, Jay Rosen at the New York University mentions automation and robot journalism. He says in his post, if machines can do it cheaper and better, human journalists can move up the value chain. So if you're looking for your next journalism job challenge, now could be a very interesting time to become familiar with programming automation.
We are augmenting traditional journalism.
Adam Long is the Director of Product Management at Automated Insights, which provides automated news reports for Associated Press and Yahoo.
The Associated Press, with human writers, basically usually junior journalists right out of school, cutting their teeth in the finance world, will write these recaps. And what this looks like from the writer's perspective is looking at a press release from a company that's just been released and being absolutely under the gun to get that thing out and turned into a story. The reality is that those journalists are essentially doing things that a computer can do really well. Take data out of a press release in certain predictable places and place it into what is largely a templated story where they're just filling in the blanks. This is a big departure for the journalism world. I think it's important for news organizations to not treat this as just another writer, but a new kind of writer. For automated journalism to pass itself off as something worthy of humans to read, it has to be entertaining. It has to be as information dense as a human writer, and it has to be variable. It has to have the full complexity, variability, tone control, everything that you imagine a human writer puts into their creative work.
Adam Long says there's a lot of opportunity for journalists to have their input and to help develop what's currently an emerging area.
We're at the very early stages of artificial intelligence creating writing. And so there's definitely a huge amount of human configuration that has to be done up front. But we're getting better and better at finding ways to automate that and finding ways to make the computer even smarter at what it's saying. And of course, a big part of that is continually training the system so that it is more and more accurate, so that it's more and more perceptive. There are two ways journalists should think about this. One is the general argument about automation and whether it is augmenting versus replacing. In this sense, it's very much augmenting, because journalists are still required to train the system to provide the data that the system uses to create this automation and to oversee its accuracy. So because it is the very early days of automation, the great news for journalists is that it's now becoming a tool that they can use. So instead of writing one article, they'll be able to train the system to write thousands of articles and cover a whole lot more information. You can essentially configure the system to look for patterns, trends, correlations, anomalies, find those insights, find the real facts in the data, and then you can also configure the system to turn those facts into written insights. So essentially, you could use it both as a tool for mining that information and also for writing about it. The big data challenge that journalists are going to face, just as the rest of the business world is facing, is not just that there's a deluge of data and you have to process it to find the insights. It's that the data keeps coming. It keeps refreshing. It keeps updating. There's always the latest data. And that analysis has to be repeated every week. The great thing about an automated artificial intelligence system is once you configure it to know about some set of data, to know about what to write about and how to do it, then you can largely automate that continuous recurring data analysis and writing process.
This week's atrocity at the offices of French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo showed, again, the challenges faced by news outlets reporting on a big developing story. With eyewitness accounts coming on Facebook and Twitter all the time, and rumours later circulating about the killer's whereabouts, we're including crisis reporting and rumor control on our list of useful skills for 2015.
There's a real problem area, and there's been a lot of very good self-analysis. We're not doing this very well. We need to be able to do this better.
Jonathan Bernstein is an expert in crisis management who's worked with the likes of Poynter, the Columbia School of Journalism, and the Center for Investigative Reporting on ethical approaches to breaking news.
Too many journalists will pick up something that's trending on Twitter, and just because 20 people say it or 100 people say it, will give it some semblance of credibility as a fact versus going to independent sources. And that's very difficult. And it's a challenge for journalists because at the end of the day, all of our most important asset is our reputation as a journalist, as a media outlet. And if you, you know, if you report information that later turns out to be false, you know, your reputation goes down a notch each time that happens. And unfortunately, under the 24/7 news cycle pressure and fewer paid journalists out there, it's a great challenge to engage in crisis prevention by being careful and fact-checking and don't just go by a single source. That doesn't seem to happen as much as it used to. You know, they want to be prompt, but in the case of journalistic outlets, you don't want to be so fast that you haven't fact-checked. You know, and that's part of the process of having a process in place for quickly analyzing the truth in the situation and what is appropriate to say or do in that case.
Finally, not so much a new skill, but a refresher of an old one. If you didn't take our journalism.co.uk online media law quiz before Christmas, do a search for it now. So much is changing with new case law on areas such as privacy and social media. So if you're still looking for a journalism-related New Year resolution, then getting fully up to date on online media law is well worth it. You'll find more details about our online media law refresher in the training section at journalism.co.uk. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.